I'm actually very excited about this to get to share with you the second week of studying Habakkuk. You'll find, if you haven't already read it, and hopefully some of you did, it's three short chapters. There's not a lot there, but there's a lot there, if that makes sense. There's not a lot to read, but you can get a lot from this small book. And I'm excited to dive into that. All right, so to catch you up, if you were not here last week, I want to kind of get you to where we're at. We talked about chapter 1 of Habakkuk. We didn't really dive into chapter 2 and 3, and that's what we're going to do today. So Habakkuk was known as a prophet. He was one of the 12 minor prophets. And God would speak to Habakkuk. He would give him a message to take to the people. And Habakkuk would do so. But in this situation, if you read Habakkuk, there's a dialogue between God and Habakkuk. They're going back and forth over and over. He just doesn't understand God in this moment. He doesn't understand why God won't intervene and just make things better than they are. He knows God can, but he's not. So Habakkuk is a little confused. So he's questioning God. Now, I'm going to read this to you. It's Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And I don't think I put that in my notes. But this is just to catch people up with what's going on with Habakkuk and God. And this is Habakkuk speaking. He says, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds." Now, when we hear those words, it's very easy to think of today and think of the world that we live in and what we see on a daily basis and wonder, why doesn't God just do more? His power, his glory is there. If only he would just do more. And that's what Habakkuk is saying. He's wrestling with God, which is the meaning of his name, is to wrestle or embrace. And we're going to learn today how that can carry you through some of your hardest times if you will learn to just embrace God and wrestle with him, and you will find he'll carry you through. The problem Habakkuk had that many of us have in our times of crisis, what he saw with his eyes didn't match up with what he believed about God in his heart. And he was trying to figure it out. He was trying to get a clear understanding of God. And I used this last week. I just want to use it again because I think it does kind of describe what they go through in this wrestling that he does with God. If you have ever had a family member or a good friend that you got in an argument with, maybe you guys didn't agree, and by the end of that argument, you really didn't come out agreeing, you really didn't come out with the same idea, but you understood one another better, and you loved one another better, you were closer because of what you went through. That's kind of what happens with Habakkuk. And I want to throw up this diagram that I showed you last week. Chapter 1 and 2, these are what's going on in Habakkuk's mind. He's wrestling with God. He's miserable. He's shouting. He's praying. He's impatient. He's asking for justice. Now, as we study this today, you're going to find his circumstances did not change. He didn't totally get what he wanted, but by chapter 3, he's resting in God. He's happy. He's singing praise. He's patient. He asks for mercy. He's on a high. And you would think something great happened in his life. Things are not better. He's just better. And so we're going to find out how he did that. Now I want to use this same diagram I used last week. This idea of the dip. So we're here. We don't know God, and we come to God, and there he is in his awesome wonder. We accept Jesus Christ in our heart, and things begin to go well. And we find ourselves working our way up. And we're praying and things are happening. We're meeting people at church. Our life is just feeling really good. How many of you know, as a Christian, just because you accept Christ doesn't mean life's going to be all roses. But God does something in our heart and it makes us feel good. And we enjoy life a little more because we have God in our hearts and our lives. And so we get to this wonderful point of feeling really good until crisis maybe happens. Something bad goes on in our life. We're praying to God. We don't feel like he's hearing us. We find ourselves on this way down, this downward slope, this spiral of asking God, "Where are you? I'm calling out to you. I don't feel you right now. I don't sense you, but I know that you can be real." And we find ourselves right here. What we're going to call this is chapter 1 of Habakkuk. That's where Habakkuk was at in that moment. And what happens, if you'll remember from last week, we find ourselves doing one of three things. One thing we do is we do not want to really accept the fact of where we're at. We don't like the idea that God's not answering our prayer or God's not there. So we find ourselves wanting to just go back to here. We just want, man, if I could just go back to where it was really good, where God was answering my prayers, where God was there with me, man, I would turn on the radio, it was the best worship song, and it just filled my car with His presence, and all things were going well, and we want to go back to that place. We're avoiding reality. The reality is we're in the dip. The reality is there's something wrong, but we don't like the idea of that, so we want to go back. Or we're praying to God, and we don't feel like He's answering. We're calling out to Him, and we're questioning, is He even there? And we get in our mind, you know what? He's not. So what do? We go back to where we started, and we don't have God at all. We just give up on God. And He's not even real. Forget it. I'm just going to live without Him. Those are two of the roads we can take. Many people, you can say, I know someone who's walked those roads. But there's a third road. It's a little harder road in the beginning. But if you will hold on to God, if you will embrace Him as Habakkuk did, you will find yourself going to a whole new place that you've never been before. A place that only God can take you and that only you can get to by going through the dip. It can't go from here to here. You have to go through this in order to feel this or experience this. So we'll call this, I'm going to put one right here, call this chapter 1. This is going to be chapter 2. And this will be chapter 3. If you read Habakkuk, you're going to see this take place. Some of you have probably already read it. What are we doing in chapter 1? We're wondering, who is God? Where is God? So if you're writing this out, chapter 1, we're wondering. By chapter 2, we're waiting. We're going to see that in just a moment. By chapter 3, we're worshiping. So now I've caught you up to where we got last week. You weren't here. You just had a 5-minute version of last week's sermon. So let's go from here. We're going to dive into chapter 2. What to do when you're in the dip? What do you do when you're here between the wondering and the waiting? And how do we get out of that? What did Habakkuk do? Well, let's pick up in chapter 2, verse 1. Habakkuk says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what God will say to me and answer. The answer I'm to give to this complaint. Here's the Lord's reply. Write down the revelation, make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks to an end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and not delay, says the Lord. So the first thing we see in the scripture that Habakkuk is doing, that we should be doing, is stop and listen. Many times we're good at telling God how we feel. We don't take it to the next step of stopping and hearing what He has to say back. We like to express our feelings. We like to tell it's a bit of a one-way road, a one-sided relationship. And the cool thing about God is not that way. You know God is a relational God. He is a God who wants to speak to you. He wants to be able to talk to you. That's why Habakkuk says, I will stand my watch and station myself on the ramparts. That means I'm going to climb up on the wall and I'm going to see what God is doing. But then he says, and I will look to see what He will say to me. He's listening to what God will say to him in this moment. He needs to hear from God. Sometimes when we're in crisis, we need to hear from God. And what do? We just keep going through. We're just barreling through. I'm going to get there. Man, I need to hear from God, but I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And maybe it's time to stop and listen and hear what He would have to say. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, we have a small group. The man of small groups in my office, and we were meeting in there on a Wednesday night, and the conversation got to, how do you know when God speaks? How do you know if it's God or if it's just me? And many times we make that harder than it should be. Can God talk in an audible voice? Absolutely. It's all through His Word. I've heard of people many times hearing God's voice speak directly to them. Have I ever heard His voice out loud? No. But I've heard from God. There are many ways you can hear from God. The point is, we have to stop and listen to be able to hear. And there are many avenues for Him to be able to do that. One of those being Scripture. God speaks to us through His Scripture. Nothing could be more clear than the story of Habakkuk. If you read this, it can speak into your life. It can direct you in a way to go. God can speak to you through prayer. God can speak to you through other people. There are so many ways He wants to speak to you, but we have to stop and listen. Notice in the story, God spoke. Habakkuk didn't really like what he heard. But when God speaks, you know where He's at. You know what He's saying to you. You just might not like the answer. He may be saying what you need to hear, but maybe not what you want to hear. That's pretty simple, but I'm going to say it again. He may be saying what you need to hear, even if it's not what you want to hear. Let me give you an example. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul had what was known as a thorn in his side. And he asked God, prayed to Him over and over, and asked Him to remove it. Three times he begged God, "I'm pleading with You, take this away." And God basically said, "I could, but I'm not going to." The answer was no. And what we find ourselves doing many times is God is answering us. God is speaking to us, but we don't like the answer. So we keep looking for the answer. When the answer's there, we just don't like it. But God basically said this to him. He said, "Because I'm not going to remove it, because I'm going to do something better than take it away. I'm going to teach you that My grace is all that you need." When you don't understand, when you're in the dip, you need to stop and listen and let God speak to you and see what He might have to say. The next thing that we do when we're in the dip that we learn from Habakkuk is we wait. Awkward, isn't it? Just for a few seconds is even hard. Because we are instant gratification kind of people. We don't want to sit here and just be in silence. We don't want to wait. But look to what God says in chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. He says, "Write that vision, make it plain on the tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time." It's not time yet. "But at the end, it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries what? Though it tarries what? Wait for it. Because it will surely come." I want to reread you that same scripture out of the Living Bible. I like this translation for this scripture. It says, "These things I plan," God says, "they won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled." That slowly part is the part we get hung up on. We like the surely part. It's going to happen. It's the slow. Can it just happen now? "If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day." God said it may seem slow, but it's coming. When He speaks to you, He's not just going to tell you something and then disappear. God's delays are not God's denials. Just because you have to wait doesn't mean He's not answering. It's just not happening yet. Let me give you three simple examples. Moses. God spoke to Moses. He said, "I'm going to see you deliver God's people and rebuild a nation by taking the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage." Did you know it was 40 years before that came to pass? Because Moses went on a 40-year wandering tour. 40 years. Man, that's half our life. Joseph, God told him, "You're going to be a great leader." And what happens? Well, he likes the idea, so he's telling people. He tells his brothers about it. They don't like it. So they beat him up and throw him in a pit and sell him to slavery. And it was 2 years in prison and years before God fulfilled what He had promised Joseph and elevated him into leadership. Sometimes we have to wait. Let's use the Apostle Paul again. He had a vision. He meets Christ. He's transformed and he says, I'm called to preach. That's what I'm on this earth to do, is to preach. It was 13 years before he ever gave his first sermon. Sometimes we have to wait. When we think of waiting, we think of no movement. We think of just sitting there, well, I'm just waiting. Kind of like the waiting room at the hospital. There's other kind of waiting. And I want you to imagine this waiting when you're waiting on God. When you go to the restaurant today, is that waiter going to bring you your food and then just sit there with you at the table and wait for you to finish eating? No. They're serving you the entire time. That waiter is serving you. That's what we're to do while we're waiting on God, is to serve Him. To take time to, yes, there's times where we sit still and listen. We stop and listen. But once we know, when we know what God's telling us and it's time that we're just waiting, we're in this waiting point right here to get to here so we can get to the worshiping, you can still be serving. Look at your neighbor and say, you can still be serving. Now, verses 6 through 19, you can read on your own time. Basically, God is going to very, very boldly issue the woes to Babylon and how he's going to take them out. And he says, I know what they're doing. I'm going to tell you exactly how I'm going to punish them. So due to time, we're going to skip from that. But the two things I want you to remember out of chapter 2 is to listen, to stop and listen, and then to wait once you've heard. One of my favorite scriptures out of chapter 2, and we'll move on after this, is chapter 2, verse 4. It says, the righteous shall live by faith. That's how we make it in the dip. That's how we hold on. That's how we embrace, is by being the ones who have that bold faith that we talked about just a few weeks ago. I love when these sermons kind of come together and they all make sense because they're backing each other up. But Habakkuk is waiting on God, and in chapter 3, we're going to see him do something pretty incredible. Because like I said earlier, even though his circumstances didn't change, his faith and his worship of God goes to a new level. So how do we do that? The best way to describe this is the scripture I used last week out of James chapter 1 and in verses 2 through 4. I think this sums up everything we're talking about right here, because it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. How do you know that's hard to do? Well, this is a joy. I'm just going through awful things. Awesome. Consider it joy because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And that perseverance is what will get you through the dip. That's what helps us right here. This reminds me of high school. I was in Oklahoma, and my best friend and I used to mow lawns together. And he had a jet ski. And so all during the day, we would mow lawns. And by the late afternoon, we would be finished. The lake was only about 20 minutes away, so we'd throw the jet ski trailer on, and we would haul it to the lake, and we'd go get a couple hours in the lake to finish up the day. So we invented this game. And if you've ever been on a jet ski, you've got the, what I'll call the handlebars, because they're kind of more handlebars than bars and steering wheel. But the driver's facing forward, the person behind him is facing the opposite way, and there's a handle on the back of the seat. And this was our version of bull riding. I'm in Oklahoma, come on. You know, there's bull riding. So our idea was we would get on the back, you had to use one hand, and you would just sit there and hold on, and that driver would take off, and he's going every direction, and the whole goal was just to stay on. The idea was just hold on. That was the perseverance. That's what the game was. If you won because you held on. And church, that's what gets you from wandering to waiting to worshiping. It's just hold on. When you have questions that you don't understand, when you have God who's, you're calling out to him and you just don't totally sense him there, just hold on and have the faith and that perseverance. Verse 4 of James chapter 1, it says, let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Church, just hold on. It will come to an end. It may not get better. You can be right here, and things just keep getting worse. It just keeps getting worse. But at some point, it's going to be okay. And even if it doesn't get better, you can still find yourself here if you just hold on. So let's look at chapter 3. Let's read verse 2 of chapter 3 of Habakkuk. It says, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day, in our time. Make them known in wrath, remember mercy. He's basically remembering the God who performs miracles, who has power, who is glory, and all of that. He's remembering who God is. Even though God's not doing exactly what he wants in this time, he remembers who God is. He's not trying to go back. He's not saying, I just want to go back to here and just avoid reality. He's saying, I remember who you are and the God who can get me through the dip. And that's how he's doing this, is by reminding himself. So the first point we have for chapter 3 is remind yourself of who God is and what he can do. We've probably all had seasons in our life where God's presence was more prevalent than others, where God's power was there more than others. But we have to remind ourselves of those times. I can't tell you how many times I've experienced God in such a supernatural way. And it's those times that get me through the dip. It's remembering what God did. I'm not trying to rehash that. I'm not trying to bring that back. Actually, what Habakkuk is asking is, God, the same thing you did then, do it now. Don't recreate the past. Give me something new, but with the same power and the same glory that you did then. He has some very tangible memories, and we're going to look at those in just a moment because he talks about one of them. But I think about how many, I'd say, senses bring back memories. And that's kind of what Habakkuk is doing here. But smells are a huge thing to me. I don't know why it is, but certain smells bring back memories. Courtney's perfume is one of those. She wears the same perfume that she wore when we were dating. If you were at One Night, you remember the crazy story we told because I was kind of an idiot and said something stupid. But I buy her that perfume all the time because when I smell it, it takes me back to where we were, and I remember the dating and the little butterflies you had in your stomach and the question, is this the one? All of those things. You know what I'm talking about. But that perfume brings back that thought. Songs bring back memories. Man, if I hear a country song, George Strait especially, I grew up on George Strait, so I hear that, I think back to when I'm 16, driving my old 72 Chevy pickup, listening to George Strait. And it just takes me back to that moment. I remember, all just based on a song, something I heard. And some of you are like, that's pretty goofy, George Strait, really. But you all know you have a song. Whether it's Lynyrd Skynyrd, I bet for Pat, it's probably Karen Carpenter. I can just see him jamming to Karen Carpenter. Yes, I'm teasing. But no, you all know the songs. My father-in-law, I got to tell on him. He's got his car. He's got songs he downloaded that he listens to. And he's got my kids singing these crazy songs from when he was younger. And they're crazy songs. That's all I'm going to say. But he enjoys them because it takes him back. But certain things take us back. And Habakkuk is doing that. Look at verses 3 and 4. He said, God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. Selah, which really just means exclamation point. But he says, his glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand, and where his power was hidden. You may be saying, what's so special about that place? But for this time, for these people, they knew exactly what he was talking about. Because when God delivered the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage, he parted the Red Sea. They went through on dry land, and then the sea closed up. And the Egyptians drowned. And God took his people to this very place. So what Habakkuk is saying, that same power, that same glory that you displayed on that day, we need that today. Church, how many of you know our country needs the same power and the same glory today? And it's not crazy to ask for that. It's not absurd to ask for that. We serve the same God. He does not change. He is just as powerful today as he was then, and he can do that. And if we begin to worship him and praise him, and find ourselves here, we'll be in a new place, a place we've never been, that we couldn't get to if we didn't go through here. Just as God would often tell his people to build an altar, to remember. We took communion last week to remember what Christ did for us. We don't want to recreate that. We're just remembering the power and glory of God and the love that he has for his people. And we are those people. That is what Habakkuk is doing in verses 4, 5, and 6. When he says, your splendor is like the sunrise. Rays flash from your hands. All of these things describing God. He goes on from verse 7 through 15. He goes through this very detailed explanation of remembering when God displayed his power and his glory. Church, there's times in your life where God has displayed his power and his glory. Remember those times. Hold those dear to your heart. Write them on a tablet if you have to, because that's another thing he told him to do. The second thing we have to do is accept what God is doing. Remember earlier I talked about sometimes the answer isn't exactly the answer we're looking for. Well, that's what Habakkuk finds himself in. In church, when the doctor says to you that you're sick, you can't just say, well, I'm just going to trust God and he's going to make it better. You can have faith that God can make it better, but you can also do something to accept that you're here, you're in the dip. Life's not going the greatest. Things aren't going too well, but I know a God who can do great things. And it's okay. I can accept where I'm at. I don't need to ignore it and just go back here. I need to accept where I'm at, but ask myself, what do I need to do in this moment? I want to stop. I want to listen. I'm going to wait. And God will speak. It may not be what you want to hear, but he will speak. And accept what he's placed before you. Habakkuk in chapter 3, verse 16, he's speaking about hearing this message, and he said, God said, I'm going to use the Babylons to destroy you. I heard, and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept in my bones, my legs trembled, my heart pounded. All of these things are describing what he was going through because he was scared. He was in a bad place, and he realized that. What this was not pleasant. But he began to think about the God that he served. And he began to write all the things, reminding him of who God was. And he found himself in a totally different place, worshiping God. Not because the answer came that he was looking for. Not because his circumstances changed. But he began to worship God. I'm going to ask the band to come back. We're going to end a little differently today. I love reading chapter 3 verses 17 and 18, because they're some of the richest verses in this book. Basically, he's saying, I don't understand God. I don't like it. Yet I will rejoice. Listen to this. Verse 17, though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes on the vine. Though the olive crop fails, the fields produce no food. Though there's no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and I will be joyful in God my Savior. Yet I will rejoice. Church, doesn't matter what you're going through right now. Doesn't matter if you're wondering, you're waiting. You could even be here. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you will find God and you will rejoice and you will hold on and embrace Him, you will find yourself here. No matter the circumstances, you'll find yourself worshiping God. My father-in-law, this is something we were talking about this week after the message. He said, this sounds like a country song. Now, how many would like for him to come up and sing that? I'd like to hear that right now. He was talking about it. He said, it sounds like a country song. Though there's no cattle in the barn. Though there's, no fig tree, or the fig tree does not bud. Though there's no grapes on the vines. It's all these horrible things that are going on. But I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. And I will be joyful in God my Savior. Church, that's how we make it through the dip. That's how we find ourselves doing great. Maybe something happens and we find ourselves going downhill just a little bit. We find ourselves wondering, is God real? But church, if you will hold on, if you will embrace God, He will be the same God that He was then, that He's been before in your life, and He'll be the same God today. Amen? Amen. Will you stand to your feet? God, I pray every one of us today has a chapter 3 type of faith. Lord, no matter our circumstances, wow, man. There's some heavy things in this room. I know that. It's not fair. We would never choose to do that. We wonder why God takes us through those things. Can I warn you? It may not get better right away. But He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His power goes beyond any trouble that you're having. And though you may not understand, though you may have questions in your heart and your mind, find yourself rejoicing in the Lord. I will rejoice in God my Savior. Lord, Your presence is in this place right now. God, I pray that You begin to move in people's lives, in their hearts. God, help us. For those of us that are in the dip, who are wandering, maybe we're waiting. Lord, help us to define the place where we're worshiping. Take us to the place where we've never been before. We can't get there until we've gone through the dip. But God, once we get through, we understand You more than we ever did before. Take us there today. Take us to new heights. We pray. In Jesus' name. I want to read you that last part of Habakkuk chapter 3. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. Now, this is going to sound like I did this on purpose. I know it's deer weekend, and so there's lots of people hunting. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. I didn't plan that. It's just there. He enables me to tread on new heights. Now, I promise you I won't always use deer examples. But when I picture He enables me to tread on new heights, He takes me to a new spot. It's just like we're talking about here. You know, this place right here was great. It felt so good, but this is so much better. It's a new height. It's a new place with God. And when He takes you there, here's what I think about. When I'm in a deer stand, you know why they have deer stands? Because you can see better. You see a lot more. You understand a lot more of where you're sitting. Because when you're on the ground, the hill goes up, you lose sight of what's over the hill. But when you're up, elevated off the air, when you're in new heights, you're seeing so much more of what God has. You're seeing so much more. You understand Him more. You have a more deeper, intimate relationship with Him when you're taken to new heights. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you're in this place and you need prayer, we're all standing here and we're going to pray together. What I'm going to, actually, rather than having you come forward, I want you to just turn to your neighbor and let's take a moment and just ask them if they need prayer. We're going to agree together in prayer right now. Will you do that? Just ask your neighbor. Amen. You can make it through the dips. Have a good week.